November 1760, Portsmouth, England. I came aboard with the prostitutes the night before the ship set sail. It was a rash scheme, but I was a brash girl with nothing to my name but a promise. Half of Europe was at war, but the grappling between kings held little interest for me. Though the conflicts were far flung across the globe, my troubles were of a much more personal nature. My fear was not that England might lose her place in the world, but that I might lose mine. I'd spent the last 10 years of my life at the Wiltshire boarding school for gentlemen's daughters. It had been just 3 months since my father died, leaving me alone with no means of provision. He did leave me one hope, his remark that I would one day inherit the Hatterby estate and dowry. The very West Indian sugar plantation where I was born, and where I lived the first 6 years of my life, the estate where he died in reduced circumstances. He was too fond of the horses, I fear. This wish he expressed in a letter he wrote to me when I was 13, a faded and oft-folded leaf of paper which I now kept in my pocket along with a hard bit of cheese. I had so much to gain. The West Indian Isles were the richest little mounds of earth on the globe, a string of emeralds in a tropical sea. Britain had laid claim to her jewels, the French to theirs. The Spaniards, the Danes, and the Dutch had grabbed their share too, and all guarded their possessions jealously, for men were making great fortunes there from sugarcane. All the civilised world was mad for West Indian sugar to sweeten its coffee and tea. As for me, I wanted not wealth so much as a home. I was single-minded, yet quite naive. I held a girlish conceit that if I could only get to my destination, everything would somehow work itself out. With father dead, I had not a penny to my name, but I was willing to sell my last favour if it would get me aboard a ship bound for Barbados to claim what he had promised me.